Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 29th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. His collegiate series and lifelong goal to match to preserve the nation. Man, I'm absolutely 100% unified in that goal. And Dr. Scott Bradley has a website, freedomsrisingsun.com, to where you can find that collegiate series and details there. You can also be engaged in the weekly webinars he conducts and a whole lot more Q&As on the Constitution, really relating modern society to how we can constitutionally understand things and carry them out, etc. Just does a phenomenal job. Welcome back, Doctor.
Well, thank you. It just seems like the weeks fly by. We hardly take a breath, and we're back with you for another round of this kind of rousing review of all the challenges that face the nation and solutions, too.
Amen to that. Truth telling is the way we roll, ladies and gentlemen, on your radio. So I got a Facebook comment, and I don't really monitor Facebook much. I think it's a waste of time, but I do have my guys post on there because until they kick me off, you might as well use that forum to spread the word of liberty and that kind of stuff. And so my guys posted, but I got this interesting comment that I saw that I thought was worthy of discussion, Doctor. Here's what the Facebook comment said. I don't know who this person is. I don't know if it's a real person. I don't know what. The question matters, though. But the name is Freitas Virtanen. Anyway. But the question was this. All it says is two words. Which God? That's it. Which God? And you know what? It intrigued me because it's a great question. It's an important question. You know what? Whether it's intended to be a real question or not, because you never know on Facebook, which God? So I assume that this listener is listening to us. When we talk about God, family, and country on your radio all the time, we talk about God of the universe. We talk about our God. We talk about we need to turn to God. We need to obey God's commandments. We need to repent. We need to follow God's direction. We need to love God. It's all about God, family, and country. I mean, the references that we make are ubiquitous. They're everywhere all the time because we believe that's the real answer. Okay, folks, whatever solution we try to put in place to restore America, to preserve liberty, whatever terms you want to use, to preserve the nation, I go on and on. It all comes back to God. Without God, we cannot succeed. We never will. In fact, Chris Carlson on the radio with us on Saturdays says, you know what? Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. Amen to that reality check. But again, it's a fair question, Dr. Bradley. Which God? And I remember being on a mission. I served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we would go out and teach people about God and all this kind of stuff. And we would, you know, talk about who is God. You know, he's the supreme being, the author of the universe, you know. But I had a lot of people say, you know, my God's not your God, or your God's not my God. And they would go on about this and say, look, sorry, we just, you know, we believe in Jesus Christ and you don't. And then I'd say, well, people, the name of our church is the Church of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but your God and my God's not the same God. And we would have this discussion that I found fascinating back then. This was, you know, long time ago, 35 years ago kind of stuff, right? 30 plus years ago. And I look at that and I go, you know what? Let's talk about this. Which God are we talking about? And the first thought in my mind is, well, the only true God. That's my first thought. My second thought is, well, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God. Then I get thinking about it a little bit more, and I say, okay, Dr. Bradley, with that setup then, I want you to then just start on this. Our listener is saying, you guys talk about God all the time. Which God, doctor?
Well, let's go back and look at the founding of the nation and the bringing forth of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, how they have God in it, the issues of the First Amendment, the religious test that's prohibited, and so on and so forth. And the basis of everything that happened at the founding of the nation, because that's the only the context you can put it in, because the words that were written at that time have meaning. Those meanings can be known, and we may therefore examine that and what actions were taken by the American founding fathers. And, you know, I've got a couple of chapters in my book, To Preserve the Nation, that talk about religion and morality, and they do it much longer review than we have time for in this little get-together. But it's interesting that religious liberty is absolutely protected. But it's interesting also, the father of the Virginia Religious Liberties Act, Thomas Jefferson, who by his own admission in his own handwriting admitted to being a Christian, and his life and works reflect that in spite of what the detractors try to say. But the opportunity to worship and come to your God that you've chosen is not prohibited by any means in this nation. And there's an interesting little caveat that Thomas Jefferson stated. He said, "The declaration that religious faith shall be unpunished does not give impunity to criminal acts dictated by religious error." That's a very gentle, soft, one-sentence statement that things like honor killings are not allowed in this country. And so it's a very interesting perspective. Where were they coming from? What did they do when the very first people were ready to land at the, land the Mayflower, debark the Mayflower? Before they did so, they wrote the Mayflower Compact to remember why they came. And it begins with, "In the name of God, amen." They're making a covenant. They wanted God in the middle of that covenant. It was between them and God and each other. And they set forth the reasons they came to this land. And one of those, in fact, the major reason, was the furtherance of the Christian faith. So they were Christians that established this land. They brought with them the book, if you will, the Bible, that was put together largely by the people of the Jewish tradition over the years, and then the Christians added to it with the disciples of Christ writing the New Testament. And so they brought the book with them. That was their that was their partner, if you will, in everything that they did. And we watch what they brought forth, every single step of the way, overarching, undergirding, as I say, everything that happened in the development of this nation was a foundational with those principles. They didn't always live them as best they could. I mean, well, maybe they thought they were, but they were religiously bigoted against each other of different faiths, and you know, whether it was the Quakers or the Baptists or the Anglicans or whomever. But over time, they matured and came to understand that this was a very important thing. So the fact of the matter is, they wanted to protect religious liberty. The Northwest Ordinance of 1787/89 wrote of, as new territories were embraced, that they would have religious liberty. The Religious Liberties Act of Virginia of 1786, that we referred to a moment ago, had as its basis the ability for anybody to choose their religion. The Danbury Baptist letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote at the beginning of his administration that says, no, there's not going to be a religious cult, religion, official, nothing. No, there's no accoutrements, officiality. But that did not mean that they were to be adversarial to religion in any way, shape, or form. And, of course, the First Amendment, it was as it was passed, in 1789 in September 26th. The very same Congress that passed that, moments after passing it, passed a resolution requiring the first president, George Washington, to declare a religious day of fasting and prayer. And he did so in November of 1789. You can read his magnificent proclamation dated the 3rd of October, 1789. So this religious liberty thing, there's no adversarial situation. Those that founded the nation worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whether you were Jewish or Christian in this land. The references to God are, you know, the supreme being, they used a number of different words that they referred to him. His hand, his finger was always upon them, it felt like, and it was by his grace that the nation was founded. So people can worship, but we must remember that if something is dictated by religious error, like these honor killings that are found under Sharia law, this is not allowed in the country and is prohibited. And so we have the privilege of worshiping whom we may. And honestly, I think we should find ourselves arm in arm with people that wish to worship their God and go forward together, because if one loses it, everybody loses it.
Well, let's talk more about that, ladies and gentlemen, because I have a feeling I understand what's behind the question. And whether they want the real answer or not, I don't know. But we're going to provide it anyway. How's that? This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
That's right, promoting God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen. And a Facebook poster commented on our notes and stuff and said, "Hey, which God are you talking about?" Or, "Which God?" is all they said. And I want to talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to talk about the God of the universe, the only true God. And I think here's where the debate comes, Dr. Bradley, and I think this is the reason for the question and the reason people say, my God is not your God, or you and I don't have the same God. There's a term called the Trinity, where God the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost are all one entity, not really a human or being of some kind, but more of an entity that can't be described or explained. God the Father, his Son, and the Holy Ghost, three beings into one. so big he fills the universe, so small he can live in your heart, kind of an idea. That's the God some believe in. Others believe in not the Trinity, but that God the Father is a perfect man, is a perfect being, and his son Jesus Christ is literally his son, a separate being who lived on the earth and died on the cross and was resurrected to save all mankind, and he does the will of his Father. And that the Holy Ghost is a third entity. They are three separate beings, but one in purpose. The purpose to bring to pass the immortality of man and to allow mankind, God's sons and daughters, the offspring of Almighty God, according to the Bible, to allow them to return to their Father in heaven and to live with him forever. So to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man is God's primary grand purpose. And that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, three beings, are separate by fact or by nature, physical properties, but they are one in purpose, that they have a genuine purpose. Now, these two schools of thought on religion are not to be debated and not to be at odds with one another. I agree the nature, the facts or the details of a belief is different. But I submit to you that it's still the same God. And you say, why do you say that, Sam? They're so opposing and so different. If you believe one, you can't believe the other. I understand that. I also understand that the early Christians debated this after Jesus Christ was resurrected and went into heaven, and he gave them the Holy Ghost as their guide. They debated these details. And in about 400 AD, as far as I understand, they created the Nicene Creed. This debate was settled by, quote, religious leaders, and they went with the Trinity view for the most part. But this was a debated issue, and that the early saints believed that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost were three separate beings. Why? Because, well, John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan while the Father was in heaven, while the Holy Ghost came in the form of a dove to bear witness thereof. That would denote three separate beings. But the debate rages on, and what I think we make a mistake about, and the reason that I want to focus so much on this is, look, even if somebody believes in the Trinity, even if the Jews believe that Christ hasn't come yet, they've missed the mark, as some would say, but they would claim that they're right, I'm not interested in these political divides over religion. I'm more interested in saying, look, God is the master of the universe. And I accept that you have differing beliefs than I do. I support your right to believe as you think best, as you see fit. What I want to support is our right to have these beliefs. But more importantly than even our right to have these beliefs, that we can work together to preserve our right to believe differently if we choose. And so I speak of a God that is my Father in heaven that's all-loving and all-knowing. I speak of a Father in heaven that's the author of the universe and my liberty. I speak of a heavenly Father who has commandments not to shut me down, but to protect me, to give me guardrails of safety and success, because he ultimately wants me to be able to live with him as his son. And I hope to be able to do those things and return his love and follow his guidance and realize the blessings that he has to offer if I do what he asks me to do. I'm not interested in the political divide over theological differences. The keys to theology can be debated till the cows come home. I don't know that we'll ever know factually every detail, and we certainly won't be able to convince anybody that we're right. You convince a man against his will, and he's still of the same opinion still. Isn't that how it goes? So I don't know that we're going to get anywhere with the answer to this question, but I want people to understand where I come from. I believe that God the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost are three separate beings. They are one in purpose. I believe I'm literally the offspring of God Almighty in the Spirit, and therefore he wants me to keep his commandments and eventually live with him forever. And I hope to make that happen through all that I can do. And then I know I still fall short and I'll never make it. So my efforts combined with the grace of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and ultimate resurrection of the Savior, I hope through those means I can live with my Father in heaven. And you know what? Some would say, well, Sam, you think that it's up to you. No, I don't. I just know that faith without works is dead. That's what I know. And so I know that I need to do all that God's asked me to do. That's my part. The rest is up to the Savior Jesus Christ and the great infinite atonement that makes it all possible. So I, you know what? I'm as Christian gets. I believe in Jesus Christ. I testify that he lives and that he was resurrected. And I testify God the Father and Jesus Christ are interested in my welfare. And they love me and I love them. And I hope to do all that I can to do what they've asked me to do. And then after I do my best, I'm going to trust in God for the rest. That's the Father I speak of. That's the God that I teach about. That's the Father in heaven that I believe in. God the Father is my answer. Dr. Bradley, do you want to expand on that a little more?
Yeah, I know our time is fleeing, and so I'll just make a few little quick brief comments. I would recommend to your readers that they go research the coming forth of the Nicene Creed that you referred to earlier, and they will discover that it was a document brought forth under duress, and they basically hammered it out under some pretty stressful conditions. And I'll leave that at that. They can do their own research. But there's a couple of things that we probably ought to say. Thomas Jefferson also wrote, "The interests of society require the observation of those moral precepts only in which all religions agree. For all forbid us to murder, steal, plunder, or bear false witness." And by the way, stealing and plunder are socialism. I came out of his context really quickly. I'll go back to it now. "And that we should not intermeddle with the particular dogmas in which all religions differ, and which are unconnected with morality, the practice of morality being necessary for the well-being of society. We all agree in the obligation of the moral precepts of Jesus, and nowhere will they be found delivered in greater purity than in his discourses." End of quote. Okay, so this moral basis of a free society is essential. And the morality of society is what laws are based on, where you say, oh, you can't legislate morality. Well, I've got an idea that if a law doesn't have a moral basis, we ought to revisit it. Then just a quick, just a few lines from George Washington's farewell address. He wrote this at the close of his administration. "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion, morality, are indispensable supports." I'm going to have to skip some here in the interest of time. "A volume could not trace all their connections with public and private felicity. Let us simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths, which are instruments of investigation in courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition of morality can be maintained without religion. Wherever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. It is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary wellspring of popular government." So here we find popular government being as an elective type government. Okay, people have their voice to be heard. The fact of the matter is, the whole foundation of this nation is based upon the morality that is brought forth by religion. And those religions, so-called, which bring forth a destruction of that, are destructive of our nation. And we could go into how Tocqueville spoke at length, after he had visited the United States. "The importance of religion in the Western territories was always emphasized to prevent a bad apple from destroying the whole nation." So anyway, religion is important.
Ain't tight, doctor. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that which God is a red herring designed to derail us all if we're not wise and careful. The founding fathers didn't debate that. They merely pointed to something higher than government. Right? Hang tight. We'll talk about it.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Republicans are calling out President Biden for bypassing Congress again and making the American people pay back someone else's student loan debt. Republican Representative Byron Donalds on Fox News is a member of the House Budget Committee.
This is also a gross violation of separation of powers. Congress has not discussed this proposal. Congress has not voted on this proposal. The president is using a statute that does not apply under this condition. That is why it's illegal.
The DNC's Cedric Richmond defends the American people being responsible for someone else's debt.
Congress acted. And if you look at the legislation that allowed President Trump and President Biden to delay loan repayment, it's the same legislation that allows him to forgive.
Lightning and a hydrogen leak may delay the launch of the Artemis 1 to the moon. USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
Russia is moving to build up its forces in Ukraine as its campaign to secure territory in the country's east and south has stalled. A series of volunteer battalions formed in recent weeks across Russia is preparing to deploy to Ukraine. Flooding continues to be a problem in parts of the country from seasonal monsoons.
The latest weather reports show the Pearl River, which leads into the mouth of the Mississippi Sound, is now predicted to crest on Monday. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves told residents his team has wisdom and knowledge on their side.
Mississippi is no stranger to severe weather and flooding, and this has led our agencies to have a tremendous amount of disaster response experience.
For the USA Radio News Gulf Coast Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
A person waiting for the bus and another walking their dog were among four people shot, three fatally, by a man who appeared to fire randomly for about 2.5 hours in Detroit, Michigan. An arrest was made Sunday night. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
A quick comment on the bottom of the hour news. Godless shooting for 2.5 hours. My goodness gracious, ladies and gentlemen, what is this nation turning into? I bet you this person doesn't have God in their lives. I bet you they're on some kind of psychotropic drugs. I'm guessing they've got some kind of government counseling or some kind of counseling going on. There might be government involved, as provocateurs involved in that. You look at this and it goes wrong 66 ways from Sunday, but where on earth does somebody go off for 2.5 hours and some good guy with a gun doesn't stop them? What the heck is going on? But the answer, folks, is to turn to God, family, and country. We talk about all the time, and a listener said, which God are we talking about? And I think we've been very clear about which God, but our founding fathers had slightly differing theological beliefs, or the keys to theology were slightly different in every one of their minds, and they understood all that, and they didn't break down and divide on the keys to theology. They didn't attack one another for their beliefs. They merely realized there was a greater source of authority and power than government. The author of the universe, God, Jesus Christ, you know, they had differing views, many of them. But they all were unified on this idea that, you know what, God provides the blueprint for stability. God provides the answer for self-governing people and their behavior. De Tocqueville noticed this, Dr. Scott Bradley.
Well, I agree, and I'll just read you a couple of things Tocqueville wrote, but just here's a farewell address thing from Washington. Say it again. With slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. This was the America that was built by the American founding fathers. Okay, so let's go to Tocqueville for a moment. He said, Americans send out ministers of the gospel into the Western states, new Western states, excuse me, to found schools and churches there, lest religion should be suffered to die away in those remote settlements, and the rising states be less fitted to enjoy free institutions that the people from which they emanated. Going on, I'm skipping just a little bit. They will tell you that all American republics are collectively involved with each other. If the republics of the West were to fall into anarchy or to be mastered by a despot, the republican institutions which now flourish upon the shores of the Atlantic Ocean would be in great peril. It is therefore our interest that the new states should be religious in order to maintain our liberties. All of these insightful statements. Another statement Tocqueville made: while the law permits Americans to do what they please, religion prevents them from conceiving and forbids them to commit what is rash or unjust. Religion in America takes no direct part in the government of the less, be regarded as the foremost of the political institutions of that country. For if it does not impart a taste for freedom, it facilitates the use of free institutions. They hold it to be indispensable to the maintenance of republican institutions. This opinion is not peculiar to a class of citizens or to a party, but it belongs to the whole nation and to every rank of society. We could go on and on about this, Sam, but I'm here to tell you, the religious foundations, the religiosity of the nation cannot be denied. Well, they could if you're a liar and you're either deceived, you're a deceiver, or you're a liar. I don't know. So the fact of the matter is, this is foundational to the maintenance of America. And it was recognized by independent sources, such as Tocqueville, that came here, boots on the ground, went everywhere he could to see what made America up. By the way, just another little quick, this is kind of a fun note. Tocqueville went to an American court. And one of these witnesses, he witnessed an event, that seems almost impossible to imagine today. He said, this is a quotation, "While I was in America, a witness who happened to be called at the assizes of the county of Chester, state of New York, declared," so it's in a court in New York, "declared that he did not believe in the existence of God or in the immortality of the soul. The judge refused to admit his evidence on the ground that the witness had destroyed beforehand all the confidence of the court in what he was about to say. The newspapers related the fact without any further comment." So here we had an individual says, "No, I don't believe in God. I'm not going to face a final judge, and I won't even exist in the eternities. I can say whatever I want, and there's no penalty." And the danger was that the court might believe him and therefore, you know, follow his line of reasoning and destroy whatever case was there. And the judge says, no, you've just told us you'd feel like you could lie with impunity. There would never be a final judge on you. And we can't allow that to destroy justice. That's the way the country was established. And today, if people try to strain at gnats and swallow camels, to use the phrase that has been brought forth in the scriptures, And they try to argue and debate, and they say, "Oh, well, I'm going to worship Moloch or whomever, Satan." It really was, as Jefferson said, "We all agree in the obligation of the moral precepts of Jesus, and nowhere will they be found delivered in greater purity than in his discourses." So that is the foundation of this nation. Yeah, you can worship a cat if you want. It's not against the law. But the things that the moral basis of the whole nation is founded upon the religious foundation that the people that came here brought with them in the book. And I think that we can make a pretty strong case for that. So, yeah, there are those that try and say, "Well, I'm going to go worship a cat." You say, fine, go worship a cat or a white dog or whatever you want to do. But that doesn't mean that you have to found and base your laws upon those things. And people that say you can't legislate morality, it would be interesting, and I could spend some time on some things that Blackstone said. about how, you know, an individual can do all sorts of things that are wrong and everything, but if they make them public and attempt to bring them into society, it's the responsibility of government to intervene. So this idea of not legislating morality, just it wasn't in the thought concepts of the American founders. And it's just difficult for me to see people strain at these gnats and swallow camels. And I've just got Blackstone's statement. Let me just read it to you here. No matter how abandoned may be a man's principles or how vicious his practice, provided he keeps his wickedness to himself and does not violate public decency, he is out of the reach of human laws. But if he makes his vices public, then they become, by his bad example, of pernicious effect to society, and it is the business of human laws to correct them. I mean, this stuff, it has a sound foundation. And we can say, well, you know what, if somebody's a drunken sluggard that lays around his apartment all day long, you know, in a sot, that's his issue. But if he comes and he makes this the way of society, trying to bring his debauchery upon society, like this idiot that was shooting at people for more than 2 hours, it's time to stop it. And that's where this kind of behavior needs to be drawn. And I believe that the American founders were pretty clear in their statements.
No doubt about it. And I want to be very clear, too. You know, there's two ways you can look at you can't legislate morality. I believe that all of our laws, there are no political discussions, ladies and gentlemen. There are only moral discussions. I've been known to say that quite often. And I believe the same thing is true with laws. You know, there's only laws that relate to morality, right? So you can put moral laws in place, and we should. When they say you can't legislate morality, what it means is that, you know what, you can't force people to do things. That's kind of the issue, is when does it come down to force? And that's kind of why, you know what, we don't create laws against someone's conscience. You can think and believe what you want to. But when it comes to your actions, there are actions that are unacceptable in civilized society. And God has put together, in my mind, 12 guidelines to help us. The first two are the great two commandments: love the Lord thy God, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are the two great commandments that the law hangeth upon. Then the 10 great commandments are basically guidelines for a civilized society. I attribute them to God and God's laws and the 10 commandments. But you know what? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not, you know, these things are fundamental truths. Okay? And it doesn't matter if you believe in the Trinity or you believe that God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost are separate beings, or you have a slightly different belief than I do. That's not important. And so I hope this question by a listener is not just trying to divide and not really interested in the true answer. I hope they are interested in the true answer. All right, because that's important. When we talk about Alexis de Tocqueville, look, this guy didn't even really believe in God. Although I kind of find it funny when people's lives are in peril, even people who don't believe in God often do. But de Tocqueville was colloquially known as Tocqueville. He was a French historian and political writer, folks. He was here and he had some incredible observations. But I want to talk about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and a definition they came up with as well, because I think it relates to what we're talking about. We'll do it in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
This is a battle. a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about which God. And I believe that, you know what, we need to focus on God as we understand him to be. And we ought to always do our very best to be ever learning more about the nature of God. All right, do you know about God or do you know God is a real important question. Let me say that again. Do you know about God or do you really know your Father in heaven, right? That's an important question, in my opinion, right? And some people know a lot about God. They're theologians. They know everything they claim. They've read the Bible. They've memorized the Bible. They can quote chapter and verse. You bring something up, and they can roast you and show you how you don't know and you're wrong, and biblically that isn't true, and they can go on and on. But I think they know a lot about God, but I don't think they know their Father in heaven. That's just my opinion, to which I'm entitled. But I want to refer to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because they have a series of articles of faith. In other words, the beliefs that they have. And one of them I think is very helpful in this discussion. So from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it says, quote, "We claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience, and allow all men, people, the same privilege. Let them worship how, where, or what they may." And I really think that kind of highlights what we're talking about here, folks. Look, my understanding and your understanding may not even be the same, even if we go to the same church, even if we have the same, quote, religion, whether it be Protestant, Methodist, you know, evangelical, whatever, Baptist, I go on, Mormon, Catholic. Even if we go to the same church, 2 Catholics don't agree on everything. 2 Mormons don't, or members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day. Baptists certainly don't. There's Southern Baptists, and there's other Baptists that don't believe in the, there's non-denominational Christians. What are they? Okay. But we need to focus on really letting people worship how, where, or what they may, and encouraging everyone around us to stand with the 12 commandments that I gave us. Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the 10 great commandments for a civilized society. That's the basis to which we can agree. And Dr. Bradley, I think it's much more important to focus on the things we agree on than any divisions that we might have. If we're not very careful, Satan exploits those divisions. And then, you know what? We're at odds with one another and we lose the spirit of God in the first place. So we need to be very careful how we approach these kinds of discussions. And how we think and feel about those who may believe slightly different than we do. We need to realize there's so much more to agree on, so much more to work together on, so much more to preserve the nation about, Doctor.
You know, I quoted Washington's farewell address earlier. I have used it a number of times. But this slight shades of difference thing, yeah. We don't all have to be on the same page on everything, but we are very similar. And it's interesting to me you ask the question, do you know of God or do you know God? I would submit that the probably one of the most important focuses
Oh, we'll try to get Dr. Scott Bradley back. Cameron, if you can confirm for me and work on that, that'd be great. Are you there, doctor? Okay, we're getting Dr. Scott Bradley back. Oh, there you are. Go ahead, sir.
I'm here. So here's the deal. One of the greatest compulsions that we could have today is to come to know God. I think that our society has been expunged of God largely. I think that the humanist religion that is taught against, it's taught in violation of the First Amendment, it's become a national religion. It's the public education system of 12-year seminary, and then you go to their higher theological centers, the universities. But it wasn't always that way. And I think back to when I was young. I think back, you know, people say, oh, that's a long time ago. But back in 1954, just as an example, a television show, if you can imagine, it's called The Answer. Your audience, Sam, ought to go look this up today. It's a 25-minute video. You can find it on YouTube. David Niven's in it. You can find it easily. The Answer, David Niven, 1954, and you'll be there. Go watch that. And it's something that was on TV. And there was a great challenge that faced the world, and the world was going to be destroyed if they couldn't find the answer. And they had this early computer kind of thing that all the wisdom of all the world, of all the wise men, was being put into this computer. And it was going to tell them how they were going to avoid this great cataclysmic end of the world. And, you know, spoiler alert, the computer came out with the Ten Commandments, okay? And Sam, you mentioned the Ten Commandments. These are foundational, if you will, to having a society that can function together. I mean, these little, you know, this at the bottom of the hour, we talked about the guy that was killing people. Holy cow, thou shalt not kill. Oh, yeah, it covers that. How about that? Bearing false witness. Holy cow. How does justice happen if you don't have justice in the court because people lie? I mean, the idea of healing, which is what the basis of socialism is, what the basis of Biden's forgiveness of somebody's loans and having other people have money taken from their pocket and their grandchildren's pocket, literally, to pay for that. I mean, this worshiping a God and doing his will, it's foundational. The idea of adultery or infidelity in families, it destroys society when we destroy families. And clear back in 1954, I mean, go look at it. It's kind of like, it's simple-minded maybe, and it's hokey and camp and maybe a little bit sappy. I don't know. But in the old days, when I was young, that kind of stuff was spoken of in society. Instead of these, we can't define a woman. That's above my pay grade. I mean, what kind of idiots have we got running society right now? When a little kid back in 1954, could watch a stupid TV show and find out there were foundational principles that were out there that would help maintain the continued existence of society and indeed the whole world. It is so bizarre to me that we have strayed so far that we find it, it's almost like a poke in the eye to say, well, what God? I don't care what you, I mean, you know, with the basis
it,
of
the limits
of bounds.
It is a poke in the eye, unless it's a genuine question. I have a feeling
it
that
might
it was
be.
Not
it
intended
be.
To be a genuine question. I have a feeling that
know.
It might not be. But I want to take it as if it is, because I believe there's great teaching in this understanding. You need to pray on your knees and learn about your Father in heaven. It's not just facts about God or scriptural references that you could. Do you know your Father in heaven? Do you know your Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you received his image in your countenance is what I would ask. Are you behaving like him? If that question was a genuine one to learn what we personally believe, that's wonderful. If that question was designed to divide, to debate, I find it not very helpful. But I believe that God's given us commandments to protect us and preserve us. And I believe if we turn to God, he will heal our land and protect us. And I believe the key to the exercise for America is God, family, and country. So when Dr. Scott and Sam discussed the religious nature of the greatest country on the face of the earth, the United States of America, I really want you to consider the question that I have. Do you just know about God? Or do you really know your Heavenly Father? It's an honest, in my opinion, question. right? It's a serious question. And it's not a question for those who want to be dismissive or divide, but it is a fair, open, appropriate question for those who truly want to learn. I would beg all of you, no matter your beliefs on God, if you don't believe in God, learn about him. Learn of him. And then if you do believe in God, do the same. Learn of him. And let's learn more about him, and let's do our very best to become more like him. And the more like God, our Father in heaven, and Jesus Christ we are, the more we control our emotions, the more we serve others, the more we keep God's commandments, the more we become like him, the more we truly know him. And that's really the whole Christian belief. Now, I know you got to be baptized, and I understand that. But the whole goal is to become more like Jesus Christ. He's the example of how to live, how to behave, how to treat others, how to serve and love. And okay, this is the great guide, the Savior Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage everyone to try to make your life a little better. Try to, step out, try to provide leadership, try to encourage others, try to work yourself. You know what? If you make mistakes, that's okay. I believe that salvation is not a destination, it's a process. Take advantage of that process. Use the question asked on Facebook and this one-hour broadcast that we put together on this to decide that you're going to make a difference. You're going to work on you. You're going to pray to God for help, and you're going to work on you. You becoming like the Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do. I know that I got a long way, and I know when people look at me, they go, well, Sam, you're sure a horrible example of this. I get it. I understand. I got a long way to go, baby. But I know Jesus loves me, and I know that if I keep working at it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, a teeny bit at a time, you know what? It might not even be perceptible in the day-to-day. But as I look back, I can say I'm more like the Savior than I was 10 years ago, and I hope in the next 10 I can be more like him. And I hope one day I can rest in his grace, that I can live with my Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, once again. Which God? That God, ladies and gentlemen. The God that is perfect. The God that can temper mercy and justice in a perfect way. A God who invites us all to live with him in eventually a absolutely free, liberty-loving society. That God, Doctor?
You know, it's been said by people wiser than me that 2,000 years ago, wise men sought him. And the follow-on on that is wise men still do. Your challenge to go come to know God, I think, is one that we need so desperately in this nation. If we would spend less time on what divides us and more time in what might bring us together in a manner that would make us more like what God would have us be, I think we'd be a happier people. And so, that could be the challenge. And I don't think it's a challenge for a day or a week, a month or a year. I think this is a challenge of a lifetime to come to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And I think that is life eternal, as has been said. And so the more we draw to that that basis of our belief system, I think that we'll kind of start to, I think we'll kind of merge in the right direction. And then we'll still be a free people that is on the right track. So wise men sought him, wise men still do.
Amen to that, and I hope to still seek him. And I hope if I keep at it long enough, one day I will be wise. In the meantime, I sure try hard and do the best that I can and trust in God Almighty for the rest. That's the God we speak of, ladies and gentlemen. I just thought I'd be very, very clear and answer that question. Thanks for being alongside with us. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, his website's To Preserve the Nation. It's all about freedomsrisingsun.com. Learn about To Preserve the Nation, freedomsrisingsun.com. I'm Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.